Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All 16 different campuses here in the SEC. Now, there are a couple that are in the same pod that, hey, it's national championship or bust. we're talking about one of those teams now, and let's be honest, success has not been in the cards for Florida football in the last 3 years. We're going on three straight losing seasons for the Gators, heading back to 2021, 22, and 2023. So that's just not – that's a combination of Dan Mullen. That's a combination of Billy Napier. Right, wrong, or indifferent, whatever it is. But just want to go over right now, bring you on just a quick film with three other teams in our league so far. What would be success in 2024 for Billy Napier and his Florida Gators team? And at first, I just want to say timing is everything. I know a lot of people have kind of already written Florida for dead, already started burying them 6 feet deep. I'm not as optimistic as some, as I feel like some are a little bit more, hey, it's the offseason, let me go, not a hot take, let me go get on a bandwagon a little bit because the Ole Miss one's already gone. Remember back in January, everybody was kind of being like, surprise team, Ole Miss. Well, everybody, it can't be a surprise team if everybody's predicting them to have a good season. So I feel like that's a little bit where we're at with Florida. I think the roster has improved. But I think a lot of people are already doubting Billy Napier and their Napier and them. But I think the roster's there for them to go win 6 to 8 games, if we're being honest. I think the roster is improved. I think they've done a good job in the portal and in the high school recruiting ranks. But timing is everything in college football. It really is. Do I think Billy Napier's a bad football coach because he's had a losing record in both years? He's gone 6-7, 5-7 in his first 2 years at Florida? No, because he's been a good football coach everywhere he's been. He won at Louisiana. He kind of was ahead of his time in that conference from taking the way the organization and infrastructure was at Alabama while he was there, and also mixing that with his time with Dabo Swinney at Clemson. I just think, always want to preface this when I'm talking about Florida and expectations. Until that administration gets fully on board to buy into football, to really go win at the level they want to go win at with the Georgias, the Alabamas, those teams of the world right now that have been that consistent for a long period of time, the administration's got to get on board too. I've always said it. I heard Nick Saban say it one time. Coaches don't win championships. Administrations win championships. And I think that is where Florida, really probably since Urban Meyer left, you can make a case. Now, not all that. Some of that's on Jim McElwain. Some of that's on Dan Mullen. Some of that's on Billy Napier. I think they would all tell you that. But again, timing's everything. I think Florida admin has to get on board as well because I don't think it's just Billy Napier, Dan Mullen, Jim McElwain. All these guys just don't know how to coach. I don't think it's that. I think some of it's a little mixture. I think two things can be true at once. The coaching and the day-to-day can be better within the football program in that beautiful new facility they have. And the administration could be a little bit more, hey, let's just don't be scarred from the Urban Meyer days forever. So I think I just want to preface that. Like I mentioned, everybody's counting them out. I'm not as optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. But most people, I think most people who you should listen to in college football, in the media, that are credible, all understand Florida's roster is better. I'm not trying to break any news or reinvent the wheel by saying I'm the only one who thinks Florida's roster better. I think anybody can tell you that. But Florida's success in 2024 is pretty black and white. I know some people may not think that. I'm going to talk about some other things too. But Florida's success in 2024 is pretty black. I mean, Billy's got to has to at least have 6 wins. It's no, hey, 5 wins, but we saw some improvement. No, it's you can't have a losing record, and that's just a start. But before we get into the schedule, two things I'd like to see if I was a Florida fan that would help define success in 2024. Let's see some improvement on the offensive line. Napier's right-hand guy, Rob Sell. If you can go back to those Louisiana days, I think their connection started when they were both the analyst, or maybe Napier was a receiver coach, whatever it was. Their connection started at Alabama. And then Florida does the two things. They have two offensive line coaches. One coaches the tight ends, or coaches the tackle. Jonathan DeCoster, he's the other one too, coming over from Cleveland Browns, I think. Now, Florida loaded with talent. Now, I do love the upside of Najee Harris. I think the sophomore can get one of those interior spots, most likely the left guard spot. I like him a lot. I think Austin Barber, if he can stay healthy, can help on one of those tackle spots, left or right, doesn't really matter. It gives him a nice Swiss Army knife at the tackle position. Jake Slaughter's played a lot, has his own issues. Low ceiling, high floor guy, but can play some different positions for you. Played at center a lot last year. Damian George, another transfer kid, I think he's got a chance, but struggled a little bit some last year. But then I think you bring in a transfer over Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon. I think he does a phenomenal job as well. He'll be one of those tackles. Then you got some depth, the Arkansas transfer, Devin Manuel. So, and then Rod Kearney, he's another guy. Cameron Waite's a Louisiana transfer. I feel like, so they have 7-8 guys if they can stay healthy. there's enough between Barber, Harris, Slaughter, George, Crenshaw, Dixon, Manuel, and Waite to get the job done. There's plenty to get the job done there with those seven guys. Now, and Kearney, eight. Now, inevitably, you're probably going to have two, maybe three, two and a half if a guy misses some games. And now, you're not saying Florida's going to have two guys out for the year on the offensive line. I'm not projecting injuries. But let's be honest, you may be missing at 1.2 and a half guys for 3 to 4 weeks. They have enough juice. They just – I want to see the physicality. That's going to come into my next part here. Florida was soft last year. On the offensive line, which I'm mentioning there, Rob Sell has a big year, big say with Billy Napier. It's time for him to start earning his salary a little bit. Him and Jonathan DeCosta, they got to step up on the offensive line. Just saying that. And I think they were soft a little bit on this part, too. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Bringing in new DC, Ron Roberts. Going to go head-to-head a little bit with he's going to go be co-DCs a little bit, even though I think Roberts has the executive head coach title. But with Austin Armstrong, the younger DC, came in over from Southern Miss, was in Alabama for like a month, came over familiar with Billy Napier, been at Georgia, smart, brilliant young guy. I think he's got to be able to relate to players a little bit better. But Florida overall, and I'm not necessarily blaming Armstrong. Let's see if Ron Roberts can come help this, coming over from Auburn. Florida was soft last year, man.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Ron Roberts addressed it, but their tackling was horrendous. Guys like Jalen Kimber, even Jason Marshall wasn't great. I mean, Florida was dead last in the SEC in tackle rate last year. They had 469 tackles, 116 missed for a 24.73% missed tackle rate, ranking first in the league. Florida was the worst tackling team in the SEC last year. Now, the whole team, dude, I don't want to call them all soft, but for the most part, Florida, especially on defense and some on offense, outside of probably the Tennessee game offensively, where they were running right at Tennessee, they were soft. Kind of discouraging in year two. See if they can change that in year three. Again, Florida's pretty black and white determining what is a successful season in 2024. I don't think if they go 4-8, 5-7, but they don't miss as many tackles. They're not finishing dead last in missed tackle rate, and they look a little tougher on the offensive line. People are going to be like, all right, we're 4-8, 5-7, but you know what? We're a little tougher. I'm not saying that. Just some things to kind of put in the back of your mind when you're watching this team. I'd like to see that baked into the success of Florida this year. But let's go to the schedule. Let's be honest, Florida fans. I mean, you've seen it. It's not overly pretty. You got opening up with Miami, which I think is going to be a great game. Sanford at home, Texas A&M, and at Mississippi State. And I want to stop at those first four before we get into the bye week. I think Florida has to be 3-1 heading into that bye week on September 28th. I think you can look at the whole schedule. I know we ain't got to yet, but you can make an argument Florida, the only game they're going to be favored in is that Sanford one at home on September 7th. Now, good chance they're probably favored at Mississippi State as well. I think that, and UCF. After that, it's pretty toss-up because we're getting later in the year. I mean, we'll jump ahead, but I wanted to say that first thing. I think Florida's got to start 3-1 in their first four. Then, like I mentioned, bye week. Then the big in-state rival, UCF and Florida, at a conference. Let this sink in, guys. There's three non-con games outside of Sanford, 3 out of 4. Or against the other big three in the state, if you want to include UCF now in a Power Four conference. Miami to open the year, UCF on October 5th, and the end of the year with Florida State. In the year of Florida State. Now, granted, all those two or three are at home, but still. So after UCF, which who knows if they'll be favored then, at Tennessee, Kentucky at home, another bye week. Remember, I say this in every video. Everyone gets two bye weeks this year. Georgia, typical meeting, world largest cocktail party in Jacksonville, at Texas, LSU at home, Ole Miss at home, and at Florida State. I'll be honest with you. As we stand right now, on April 23rd, I do not see Florida winning any of those five games, starting with Georgia, at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and at Florida State. Probably a little bit more confident against LSU than anybody because it's at home. Maybe LSU or Ole Miss. But even then, I mean, it's late in the year. Florida probably benefit from getting LSU early in the year. So it'll be interesting. I'd be shocked. They definitely would not be favored. So I think it's five losses right there. They got to go get two out of these one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. They got to get two out of these seven. Or they got to go win five, six out of seven, right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah. I think they got to go get their bowl win. If they want to go get to six, they're going to have to go get it early in the season. Have to be 3-1 of these first four. Have to get one of Miami or Texas A&M at home. And that would be very disappointing if they were 1-2 heading to Starkville. Then you lose that. Woo! Heading into that bye week. Man, that'd be tough. And then UCF, maybe the game would do it for Billy. Worst case scenario, that would be it. Best case, you win all four of these. Five. Probably split 6-1, 7-1, 8-4 if you got one of these. I just can't see more than eight wins, man. Those last five games are so tough. So tough. I think 8-4 is the ceiling. 8-4 ceiling. I mean, you go 4-8, 3-9, depending how off the rails it gets from a worst case scenario. But for me, what would be considered a successful season in Gainesville in year three for Billy Napier on a hot seat season? Probably the biggest hot seat in college football. A successful season? Look, 6-6 isn't a successful season in Gainesville. I don't care if he goes 6-6. They're a better tackling team. They look more physical and more efficient on the offensive line. That's not a successful season. That's just a survival season. And he probably gets another year, especially if DJ Lagway is looking good and the time he gets. And you kind of, hey, we have a quarterback to build around. Successful season would be 7-5 plus what I added between the tackling. We're not last in dead tackling. We're not last in the SEC in dead tackling if you're Florida. We also look like we're efficient on the offensive line because there's enough talent to work there with that we can give Graham Mertz a clean pocket to go get the ball to Eugene Wilson and some of our other receivers that need to go step up. We can create some run lanes for guys like Montrell Johnson, Trayon Webb. That's kind of what I'm getting at a little bit there. So for me, 6-6, no, that's not success. That's surviving. If we're defining this video as what is a successful season for Florida in 2024, it's going 7-5. And like I mentioned, seeing the improvement on the offensive line, let's take that next step. So that helps the whole offense, gets the explosive plays going, gets Graham Mertz comfortable, who was probably the only bright spot on Florida's season last year. And like I said, hey, let's clean up the tackling, the fundamentals. Let's don't be soft. Florida used to not be a soft program under Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer. Let's get that back.